الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, the majestic, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and His blessings and to exalt the mention of the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue with the book Sharh Usul al-Iman, the explanation of the fundamentals of faith. And we were dealing last session with the fact that the Muslim Ummah has actually two groups among the Muslim Ummah have divided in terms of their understanding of Allah's names and attributes. We said there are two extremes, whereas the belief system of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which has the four A'imma, those who have the Madhab, the Madahib, and the other A'imma of Hadith and Fiqh, all of them to a certain extent agree about how to understand Allah's names and attributes, unlike those who have adopted philosophical ways. When the Muslim Ummah spread into Persia and Egypt and certain countries, you know, and they started, non-Muslims started embracing Islam, and they brought with them some of their old belief system, some of their old conceptions of the Creator, and they started to understand or attempt to understand the names and the attributes of Allah according to the Greek philosophy, which is why we had all these problems. So these two groups are Al-Mu'attila, and we said Al-Mu'attila comes from the word Ta'til, and Ta'til is to deny. So you had a group of Muslims who say, you cannot say that Allah is Sami', Allah is the All-Hearer, or Basir, Allah is the All-Seer. You cannot say that. You cannot say Allah is Alim, All-Knower. These people exist. You cannot and you cannot. Why? Because they say that if you do so, you are comparing Allah to His creation. They say, don't you have hearing and seeing and knowledge? So they said, if you confirm that to Allah, then you are making Allah like His creation. So this is something that we should not do, so they deny it. Although it's all over the Quran, all over the Sunnah, in clear language that anyone who reads can understand without the need of tafsir. Yet they had the nerve to deny it. And we mentioned some of their understandings and how they are unacceptable. Then we said that there's another ta'ifa, another group which we did not discuss, which we'll be discussing tonight بإذن الله عز وجل. And these are known as Al-Mushabbiha. And that comes from the word Tashbih. And Tashbih has a number of ways, you know, you can translate it to English in more than one way. Setting parables or drawing similarities. The bottom line of it, the juice of that is comparing Allah to His creation, likening Allah to His creation, where it is used, the common term is anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism, which is giving human beings the attributes of the deity, of God. So making Allah like His creation, which is the most common belief system of the kuffar. Hindus, Christians, and so forth, they always seem to tell you that God is something that they, you know, they made. Some new Buddha is their God, or even a human being, or some statue in the case of the Hindus, or an animal, and in the Christians is Jesus. You know, so they always make Allah Jalla Jalala wa Taqaddasat Asma'u some of His creation. And these people are trying to avoid that, but they wind up going to extremes. They wind up going to extremes. The Mushabbiha, الَّذِينَ أَثْبَتُوا الْأَسْمَاءُ وَالصِّفَاتُ مَعَ تَشْبِيهِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِخَلْقِهِ زَاعِمِينَ أَنَّ هَذَا مُقْتَضَى دَلَالَةِ النُّصُوصِ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُخَاطِبُ الْعِبَادَ لِمَا يَفْهَمُونَ وَهَذَا الزَّعْمُ بَاطِلٌ لِوُجُوهٍ منها and the Sheikh will mention them. He said Mushabbiha, a group among the Muslims today, are those who affirm Allah's names and attributes. They affirm them, unlike the Mu'attila. The Mu'attila, they deny them. They say you cannot say Allah has a face, you cannot say Allah has hands, you cannot say Allah is knowledgeable, Allah is all-seeing, all-hearing, you cannot say that. Because to them these are characteristics of the humans. If you confirm them, you've making Allah like his creation. These Mushabbiha are on the other extreme. They confirm them while claiming that they must be like that of the creation. They claim that if you affirm these names and attributes, then you are comparing or likening Allah to his creation. They said because the apparent meaning of the textual evidences necessitates that this is the case. They said because Allah will only speak, address to his creation with things that they understand. Allah will address his creation with the things that they understand. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's the all-hearing, the only thing that the human understand is what we do, which is here. So they say that must mean that Allah is like us, because that's the only thing we understand. The Shaykh said, and this is false. This is falsehood for a number of reasons. الأول أن مشابهة الله تعالى لخلقه أمر يبطله العقل والشرع ولا يمكن أن يكون مقتضى نصوص الكتاب والسنة أمرا باطلا. The Shaykh said, likening Allah to his creation is something that is rejected by intellect and by the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. He said, and it is impossible that the Quran and the Sunnah would necessitate something false. It is impossible that the learning, that the knowledge that you will get from the Quran and the Sunnah will be teaching you something false. Impossible. Because we have evidences, everybody should know the verse. For example, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto him. There is nothing like Allah. So that's an evidence that they cannot deny. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And there is none co-equal to him. Nothing of the creation is equal to Allah. So then making this claim is basically claiming that these verses do not exist. And so they're denying the Quran. The second reason, الثاني أن الله تعالى خاطب العباد بما يفهمون من حيث أصل المعنى. أما الحقيقة الذي عليه ذلك المعنى فهو مما استأثر الله تعالى بعلمه فيما يتعلق بذاته وصفاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed his creation regarding the evidence in the Quran, what has been revealed in the Quran, according to the basic meaning that we understand. But as for the essence, the real nature of the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his attributes, then this knowledge is for Allah alone. He did not share it with his creation. The essence of the qualities, the essence of hearing. Now, when we think of hearing, you think of your human hearing system. An ear, right? And with the, you know, where the sound travels, it goes to the mind, then the mind translates that into knowledge. So then you, as you're listening to me, you're understanding what I'm saying through your hearing ability. If you did not hear, you would not understand. So we think in this context, when it comes to the creation, when it comes to the Creator, we don't have these thoughts. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu did not teach us the reality of the hearing. But Allah confirmed to himself as Sami'a, the all hearing. So we confirm, but we don't say how. How? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like unto Allah. Do not imagine Allah in human context. Because this is the very dangerous thing that you're not supposed to do. But these people of Tashbih, they fell into that. طيب. The Shaykh said, فَإِذَا أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ لِنَفْسِهِ أَنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ فَإِنَّ السَّمْعَ مَعْلُومٌ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَصْلِ الْمَعْنَى وَهُوَ أَدْرَاكُ الصَّوْتِ لَكِنْ حَقِيقَ ذَلِكَ بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَى سَمْعِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى غَيْرُ مَعْلُومَةٍ. The Shaykh said, if Allah confirmed to himself the quality of hearing, then hearing is something that we understand in terms of the basic meaning, which is the comprehension of sounds. Hearing is the comprehension of sounds. That we understand from the apparent meaning when we hear Sami'a.
سمي الله لمن حمده. When you get up from ركوع, what do you say? سمي الله لمن حمده. Allah hears the one who praises him. So we know what the word here سمي means. But do we know the essence in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. We have no idea about that. So this is where we stop. لأن حقيقة السمع تتباين حتى في المخلوقات فالتباين فيها بين الخالق والمخلوق أبين وأعظم. And we use the same methodology in understanding. The Shaykh said, and which is the thing that we must understand properly, the reality of hearing within the creation is so different. Even within the creation, the hearing of an ant is not like the same as the hearing of an elephant, not the same as the hearing of a human being. Even within human beings, some of us hear better than others, and so forth. So if we have such a vast distinction among the creation, then the distinction between the creation and the creator is greater and more evident. If among the creation there is such a big gap, then what about between the creation and the creator? It is beyond our imagination. This is where our imagination stops over there. There are things that you do not think about. This happened during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that one of you will continue to think. Now the shaitan will whisper to him, who created this, who created that, until he makes it to Allah. Then one of you will say to himself, who created Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. He said, when you reach this point, say, I believe in Allah. Stop. Don't dwell on this, because this is all from shaitan trying to trouble your mind. You believe, you submit. Similarly, we believe what the Quran says, what the Sunnah indicated, but we do not dwell into the manner of how these qualities are, because there's nothing like Allah and we don't have any knowledge of that. So then we stop imagining, because some people go to this extreme. Just know that Allah hears you, so you don't say something that displeases Him. That's what we need to know. What we benefit is that if you know that Allah is the all-hearer, He hears everything, then you strive to say only things that are pleasing to Him, because you know that Allah hears you. As to go into the reality of that, we don't do that. So we don't do like the Mu'attila who deny. They say, no, you cannot say Allah hears, because we hear. So you make an Allah His creation. And we don't do like the Mushabbiha who said, if Allah hears and we hear, then it must be like us. You see, we go in between. This is the madhab of all of the a'immah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Sufyan al-Thawri, Hassan al-Basri, all of these a'immah are known. This is their aqidah. This is what they were teaching. This is what they even compiled books. Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah is the student, one of the mu'allif is Hanafi in his madhab rahimahullah ta'ala, and his whole book is about this very subject we're discussing. But today people do not follow the aqidah, but they follow the fiqh, although the aqidah takes precedence over the fiqh. The aqidah is the most important thing in your life, because it deals with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are you worshipping? Do you know Him the way you are supposed to know Him? The way the Prophet ﷺ knew Him? The way His companions knew Him? Or do you not? As for the fiqh, alhamdulillah, there's room. There's room for difference. They are all trying to take you to the sunnah. So it's يعني, digestible. But we don't want to follow the madhab of the fiqh and disregard the aqidah of the imam, because the aqidah is more important. So if we want to follow, we must follow right. What did he believe? Then we must similarly believe, because they all, alhamdulillah, agreed regarding this. This is before people started innovating and coming up with their ideologies. They were still people, you know, when these people came about, the a'imma refuted them. They answered them, gave them evidences. But now when the knowledge has become less and these things are no longer taught, then it is spread all over the Muslim ummah, this new ideology. I put up a little link on YouTube. It's a little video, 7 minutes, that deals with the lecture that we had at IMC about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above His creation. The fact that Allah is above His creation, which is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, the aqidah of the a'immah. And I basically brought all the evidences, you know, that were mentioned in the lecture, and just some brothers suggested that they have it on a PowerPoint presentation, so we uploaded that on a PowerPoint presentation on YouTube. In 1 minute, I got 4 comments. I was shocked, said, MashaAllah, usually I upload a video, it takes, you know, weeks before even people bother to write a comment, if ever. As soon as I finished uploading, there are 4 comments. You know what the 4 comments were? The first comment, the guy said about me, this guy is a kafir. Huh? This guy is a kafir who is corrupting the minds of Muslims. I said, La ilaha illallah. Yani, look at to what extent the Muslims today are unaware. Not only he doesn't know, but he also declared kufr against me, took me outside of Islam. Although this is one of the most dangerous things. To tell a Muslim that you're a kafir, it would fall back on you. It would fall, it's a dangerous thing. You don't make this statement. Maybe the brother's ignorant, you educate him. You teach him. Anyways, I'm trying to show you that this is what is spread among the Muslims. We have no knowledge of aqidah. Speaking of myself, when I came from my country, I never heard the word aqidah. There was no such thing as word aqidah in our whole life. It's only Quran, tajweed, you know, that's it. You memorize the Zuhamma, you memorize the Mazzah, you listen to some lectures about softening the heart, tawbah, istighfar, and things of the sort, but no knowledge that we are supposed to have. Because of that, we wind up following whatever circulates in our community, and whatever circulates in our community is not necessarily the truth. So then, inshallah, we want to raise ourselves with understanding according to textual evidences. So we will not be in this particular predicament, so our children will be protected from the fire, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. وَإِذَا أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْ نَفْسِهِ أَنَّهُ اسْتَوَى عَلَى عَرْشِهِ فَإِنَّ الْإِسْتِوَاءَ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَصْلِ الْمَعْنَى مَعْلُومٌ لَكِنْ حَقِيقَةُ الْإِسْتِوَاءِ الَّتِي هُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَيْرُ مَعْلُومَةٍ بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَى اسْتِوَاءِ اللَّهِ عَلَى عَرْشِهِ لأن حقيقة الاستواء تتباين بحق المخلوق فليس الاستواء على كرسي مستقر كالاستواء على رحل بعير صعب النفور فإذا تباينت بحق المخلوق فالتباين فيها بين الخالق والمخلوق أبين وأعظم. The Sheikh said, so if Allah taught us in the Quran that He rose above a throne, and in case you don't know, this particular statement occurs in the Quran 7 times. In 7 different locations, the istiwa, the rising, the ascending of Allah Azza wa Jalla above His throne is mentioned in 7 different locations in the book of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So you cannot deny it. 7 times. 1 is enough. But for emphasis. 7 times, الرحمن على العرش استوى ثم استوى على العرش. You know the verses. If Allah confirmed to Himself, and He told us in the Quran, that He Azza wa Jal rose above His throne, and the word istiwa, as far as the basic meaning, we know what it means, it's ascending. Istiwa means to ascend, to rise above. Then the Shaykh said, then the reality, the nature of this istiwa, rising above, varies among the creation. For example, ascending on a fixed stable chair is not the same as ascending upon an unyielding, easily frightened camel. You know, a camel that does not want you to ride on him, or a horse, or anything of the sort. So, if you ride on a stable chair, you are fixed, you're stable. If you ride on a camel that does not want you to ride on it, then the word istiwa now is very much different. Both we say istiwa, but the nature of them is vast. The difference in them is vast. So again, if this is the case between the creation of Allah, then the difference between the creation and the Creator is more evident and greater. So then, when Imam Malik was sitting in a gathering like this one, and we mentioned this before, and a person came to him and said, oh Imam, how did Allah rise above His throne? And the Imam became angry, and he started to sweat, and he told him, Al-Istiwa Ma'loom, the word Istiwa, ascending, rising above, is known. We know what it means in the language. Wal-Kayfu Majul, how? It is unknown. Allah only knows. We don't know, because no one has seen Allah. He said, and believing in it is compulsory on you because it's in the Quran. and asking about it is an innovation. And I see you as nothing but an innovator. And he was asked, he was commanded that this person, he commanded that this person will be kicked out of the masjid. Go home. You're corrupting the mind of the Muslims. Not me, as that guy came. That person who came and wanted to know, how did Allah rise above his throne? We say, لَيْسَ تَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ Have adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have respect to Allah. What do you think? Who do you think you're talking about? So if you come and ask how, there's nothing like Allah. Whatever your mind imagines, you're wrong. So then you don't go there. You do not go there, but you believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, because Allah says, Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lilladhi hiya aqwam. Verily this Quran guides to that which is more straight. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. This book, there's no doubt in it. If you're going to claim that the apparent meaning of the words in the Quran will misguide you, then you don't really believe. You either believe what Allah said or you don't. He said this book will guide you to that which is more straight. And Allah, the one who gave us this revelation, this verse, told us that He rose above His throne. And that will guide you to that which is more straight. He didn't tell you how, so you don't ask how. Is that clear? That's just, no, alhamdulillah, very basic. Very basic. طيب. والإيمان بالله تعالى على ما وصفنا يثمر للمؤمنين ثمرات جليلة منها. This belief in Allah, according to what has been established, this foundation, will actually produce many benefits for the believers. Among them, تحقيق توحيد الله تعالى بحيث لا يتعلق بغيره رجاء ولا خوف ولا يعبد غيره. To establish the monotheism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you do not become attached to anyone but Allah in terms of hope, in terms of fear, and you do not worship anyone but Allah. Second, كمال محبة الله تعالى وتعظيمه بمقتضى أسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العليا. The perfection of our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perfecting our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to magnify Him based on the understanding of His beautiful names and ultimate attributes. ثالثا تحقيق عبادته بفعل ما أمر به واجتناب ما نهى عنه. Establishing the worship of Allah by doing that which He commanded and staying away from that which He forbade. So then understanding the names and the attributes of Allah in a manner which befits His majesty will enable us to get all these three fruits. We will benefit by knowing that the one we're worshipping is unlike His creation. Because the Mushabbiha, they said Allah is just like His creation. And we don't want to worship the creation. You don't want to worship the creation of Allah. And Allah is unlike His creation. Have you ever seen a table that was made by a table? Huh? Have you ever seen a cell phone that was manufactured by a cell phone? لا يا أخي. It's a company, they make a cell phone, a table is made by a carpenter. You need a manufacturer to produce a product. So if they say that Allah is like His creation, how could that be? How could that be? It's impossible. But then the other extreme, they say, oh, but I'm sorry, if you say that Allah hears, then that means Allah is like His creation, so I cannot accept that either. Ya akhi, then what are you going to do with the Quran? What are you going to do with all the verses in the Quran that end with these qualities of Allah? So then, you will see that both groups have erred. They have went astray. They have deviated from the path. Had they stuck to the foundations of Islam and the fundamentals, you would have no problem. The same way now you have no problem. Alhamdulillah. You believe in the greatness of Allah, that He has His beautiful names and attributes, and there's nothing like Him. And you don't have to worry about anything else. But you benefit from knowledge and you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly. And with this we conclude our belief in Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wa Taqaddasat Asma'uhu. We will move on now to the belief in angels. Before I give you the information, maybe you can give me some information. What do we know about the angels? Anyone can raise his hand and share with us, what do we know about the angels? Some of their qualities, characteristics, any knowledge about the angels, anything, I will take. Iman is at the same level of the angels. Tayyib. Anything else? Anyone else? Or anything? Yes, sir. Excellent. Exactly, mashallah. The brother said that they never disobey Allah, they have no desire, and they do whatever they're commanded. Good, that's exactly who they are. Anything else?
Wings.
I cannot hear him.
They have wings.
Wings. Indeed, they have wings.
Created by light.
They're made out of light. Ayyid. What else? Do we know their names? What's his name?
Jibreel.
Anyone else? Mikael. And?
Malaika.
Israfil. And? No, actually Israel is not authentic. This was usually given to Malak al-Maut, the angel of death. But in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him Malak al-Maut. So his name is Malak al-Maut. That expression was used, but as far as I remember, it is not authentic to be given to him, but close. So Israfil, Mikael, Jibreel alayhi salam, there's more. Ridwan is the where is he? In Jannah, mashallah. And what's the one, the Qazin al-Nar, the one, the guardian of the fire, what's his name?
Malik.
وقالوا يا مالك ليقضي علينا ربه قال إنكم ماكثون. The inhabitants of the fire in the Quran, they said, oh Malik, let your Lord destroy us. And one of the narrations said that he answered them after thousands of years. They told them, let your Lord, because they were too ashamed to say our Lord, because they had disbelieved the law in the dunya. So when they entered the hellfire, they were too ashamed to say our Lord. They told Malik, tell your Lord, ask the Lord to destroy us. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. The kafir would wish he was only dirt, dust, so there would be no consequence of a sin. So they would say, oh Malik, let your Lord destroy us. Then it mentions in the hadith, I have to check the authenticity, that he will, I read it in the tafsir actually, he will not answer them for a long time. Then he will say, قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. Then he will say, verily you will remain. So that is called punishment upon punishment. There's a physical punishment, and then there's a mental punishment. You know, when you ask someone something, what happens to you? You look forward for the answer. You want the answer. He ignores you to tell you no. You know? Say, Akhi, can you give me 5 dirhams? He looks at me for, you know, half an hour. I'm waiting. Then after half an hour, he says, no. What is going to happen to me? I'm going to be very upset. If you want to know from the beginning, tell me no. But, subhanAllah, this is the punishment of the people of the hellfire. Physical and mental. They will hate themselves for what they used to be in the dunya. And some of the Muslims will be going to the hellfire also. So we don't want to be in that position. We must fix ourselves today, so we will not be worried about it on the Day of Judgment later on in our lives. Tayyib, mashallah, you gave me actually almost the whole tafsir of the Shaykh, mashallah, it's with you. I don't know why I'm teaching this book anymore. But we will do it anyways, just in case someone didn't know all this. Al-Malaika عَالَمٌ غَيْبِي مَقْلُوقُونَ عَابِدُونَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ مِنْ خَصَائِصِ الْرُّبُوبِيَّةِ وَالْأُلُوهِيَّةِ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنْ نُورٍ وَمَنَحَهُمُ الْإِنْقِيَادَ التَّامَّ لِأَمْرِهِ وَالْقُوَّةَ عَلَى تَنْفِيذِهِ. They are from the creation of the unseen. The unseen, the things that, you know, you don't see them around you, like the jinn also. They are worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have no qualities, no divine qualities of rububiyyah or uluhiyyah. So you don't ask them for anything, you don't supplicate with them. They don't arrange the affairs of this dunya. It is Allah who does so, subhanahu. Allah created them from light, min nur, from light. And He gave them the ability to be totally submissive to Him, to obey His commands. And He gave him the strength to execute his commands. So he gave him the ability to submit, no disobedience, and the power to carry out and execute whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla commands him to do. قال الله تعالى ومن عنده لا يستكبرون عن عبادته ولا يستحسرون يسبحون الليل والنهار لا يفترون. Surah Al-Anbiya, verses 19 and 20. Allah Jalla Jalala described the angels. He said, And those who are near him, near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not too proud, they are not arrogant to worship him. Nor are they weary, complaining. They glorify Allah in the night and the day, and they slacken not. They don't stop. They don't get tired. They don't get bored. They don't complain. Unlike us. Sometimes, when we want to do the salah, we complain. Not verbally, in our behavior, in our performance of the salah. We don't have this desire that we're supposed to have to worship, as the Prophet ﷺ and his companions did. We are a little lazy and lousy. It's almost like worship is a burden upon us. Like, you know what I'm saying? You find, some people just want to finish the whole salah in the masjid after Isha, just finish the whole thing, the sunnah, the witr, the whole thing, so they don't have to worry about thing anymore. And it's all just quick, because you gotta go. Busy, got things to do. This is an indication that we're not, unlike the angels, they willingly, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify His name in the night and the day. They don't slacken, they don't complain. يستسحرون, يستحسرون. They don't complain, they don't become weary. Allah musta'an. وهم عدد كثير لا يحصيهم إلا الله تعالى وقد ثبت في الصحيحين من حديث أنس رضي الله عنه في قصة المعراج أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رفع له البيت المعمور في السماء يصلي فيه كل يوم 70,000 ملك إذا خرجوا لم يعودوا إليه آخر ما عليهم. They are huge in number, the angels. They are so many. No one knows how many they are. No one can enumerate them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been established in Bukhari and Muslim. As-Sahihain, Wanabiyyin As-Sahihain, meaning the Sahih of Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And Wanabiyyin Mustafaqun Alayhi, agreed upon, meaning it's in Bukhari and Muslim. It was established in both on the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken in the Mi'raj, the ascension to the heavens, he was taken, رُفِعَ عَلَهُ الْبَيْتُ الْمَعْمُورِ. The Bayt al-Ma'mur is the inhabited house. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says in the tafsir that it is terrible to Mecca on earth. So it is a house as the Kaaba is on earth, then there is a parable to it in the heavens where the angels do what the human beings do downstairs, down here. This is Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur. It comes in Surah Al-Tur. In Surah Al-Tur, it is Allah spoke by this particular, the inhabited house. The Prophet ﷺ said, 70,000 angels enter this house every day to worship and they never go back to it. Can you imagine? How many years have this earth been existing? How many years since Allah created the creation? Every single day, 70,000 angels enter to pray and they never come back. Can you imagine how many angels? The Prophet said that the heaven, the sky, is making sounds from the heaviness. He said, you will not find the distance of two fingers, except that there's an angel either bowing or prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These skies above us, right now, as we speak, they are full of angels worshipping Allah. And so that shows you that what? Allah is not in need of my worship and yours. These are, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They don't disobey Allah, the angels, and they do whatever they commanded. We disobey Allah, and we do not do what is commanded. And then when we worship, we want to get we want praise and we want all kinds of stuff. As if we're doing Allah a favor. In reality, we are being given a favor. You're doing it yourself, we're doing ourselves a favor when we are given the chance to worship. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa al-ghani, Allah is the self-sufficient. Allah is the all-rich. He does not need the worship of His creation. This is just to show you the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 8. So 70,000 angels enter and they never come back again. Every day. Until the day of judgment. والإيمان بالملائكة يتضمن أربعة أمور. Belief in angels comprises four matters. الأول الإيمان بوجودهم. To believe in their existence, in the existence of the angels. Some people don't. Some so-called Muslims don't. الثاني الإيمان بمن علمنا اسمه منهم باسمه كجبريل، ومن لم نعلم اسمه نؤمن بهم إجمالا. To believe in whatever we know of their names, of those whom we know their names, like Jibreel, and those whom we do not know their names, then we believe in them in general, in a general sense, like the angels who write down your deeds and others. We will see. Second, that was the second. Third, الثالث الإيمان بما علمنا من صفاتهم كصفة جبريل، فقد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه رآه على صفته التي خلق عليها وله 600 جناح قد سد الأفق. Believe in whatever we know regarding their attributes or their qualities. For example, that of Jibreel. Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned that he saw him in his pure form, in his real form, according to the way Allah created him. In the original way Allah created him, he had 600 wings and he covered the whole horizon. The horizon is everything you see. When you look up, everything you see. In Jibreel, he covered the whole thing, عليه الصلاة والسلام. 600 wings. Yani mighty, strong, big, powerful angel Jibreel. Prophet ﷺ, when he seen him, he got scared. He ran away to his wife Khadija. Zambinuni, cover me, cover me. And since she, you know, told him to take it easy. Because the Prophet ﷺ seen Jibreel when he spoke to him, when he told him Iqra, and he also seen him in his real form during that particular incident. And he was scared, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the greatness of the angel Jibreel. وقد يتحول الملك بأمر الله تعالى إلى هيئة رجل كما حصل لجبريل حين أرسله تعالى إلى مريم فتمثل لها بشرا سويا. And the angel may take the form of a man. He may take the form of a human being, a man. As it happened to Jibreel when Allah sent him to whom? To Maryam. And he presented himself to her in a man in all respects. He was a man in all respects. What did she say? قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك أن كنت تقيا. She said, "Verily, I seek refuge with the most merciful from you, if you indeed fear Allah." Then he told her, قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا. Verily, I am only the messenger of your Lord to grant you a pure child, which is Jesus, عيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام. So here Jibreel came to Maryam in a form of a man. Again he came to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وحين جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو جالس في أصحابه جاءه بصفة رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه أحد من الصحابة. فجلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان والساعة وأماراتها. فأجابه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فانطلق ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. رواه مسلم. Also Jibreel came in a form of a man to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. The hadith of Jibreel, which each Muslim, each one of us here should memorize. We should know this hadith like we know our name. It is the second hadith in the Arba'in Nawawiyyah. Everybody knows Imam Nawawi rahimahullah. He compiled the 42 narrations. It's called Arba'in rounding. It's 42 narrations. Fundamental in Islam. The first one is Innama al-A'malu bin-Niyyat. Everybody knows that. These are 42 intentions. The second one is the hadith of Jibreel. A very fundamental hadith. You need it for da'wah. Because everything you want to tell them about Islam is in this hadith. Of course you need to break it down, but generally speaking. Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ while he was sitting among his companions. He came in the form of a man who was wearing extremely white clothes. Now today, if you go to the Makwa and you do pay 3 riyals for ghasil kawi and you put on a thawb and you come to the masjid, it is possible that the thawb will be extremely white. But they didn't have a makwa during 1400 years ago. You had to come in a desert. He wasn't riding a bus or a car or his Mercedes. You must come on a camel or a horse or a donkey, something along these lines. So your thawb cannot be very white if you're traveling. Impossible. Dirt, dust, and you know, sand and what have you. So Jibreel came with extremely cold white, extremely black hair, Again, no, his hair is not messed up. No, no, you know, sand from the desert and things of the sort. And you cannot see the traces of travel. He does not look like a traveler. And none of the companions knew him. Daddy, it's not like your neighbor. Where did this man come from? If he didn't travel, how did he get here? He doesn't seem like he traveled too clean to be a traveler, and he doesn't live next to us. So they were shocked. Who is this man? So he sat down across from the Prophet on his knees. He sat down like this, not like this, no sitting. Like he's sitting right there. And then Jibreel put his hands on his thighs. And he asked the Prophet five things. He asked him about Islam, about Iman, about Ihsan, about As-Sa'a, the hour, wa amaratiha, the signs of the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment and the signs of the Day of Judgment. Of course, if you memorize the hadith, then you will get the answer. Islam is the five pillars of Islam, Iman is the six pillars of Iman, Ihsan is to worship Allah as if we can see Him, but if you cannot reach His level, then know that Allah sees you. And then when he asked him about the hour, he said, the one you're asking does not know more than the one that is being asked. Me and you are equal in knowledge. No one knows the sa'ah but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for the conditions, he gave him some of the signs and the conditions of the Day of Judgment. So here the idea is, he came in the form of a man. After he asked him the questions and he left, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his companions, do you know who was that? Do you know who the questioner was? They said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, that was Jibreel. He came to teach you religion. Jibreel came to teach you, because by asking this question, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answering, me and you are studying it today. So they learned, and they narrated, and they preserved, and they quoted, and it transmitted all the way from them until us today. So now today we are as if we're living this moment. Because of the wording of the hadith, we know what happened during the time of the Prophet 1400 years ago. Because of this preservation that Allah has given Islam, which is not found in any other religion. That's one of the ways you can tell that all other religions are false. And this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preserved and protected. So alhamdulillah. We learn our deen through this particular hadith. وَكَذَلِكَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الَّذِينَ أَرْسَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَلُوطٍ كَانُوا عَلَى صُورَةِ رِجَالٍ. Similarly, some of the angels which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to Ibrahim and Lut, they also were in the form of men. Remember, they entered upon Ibrahim, he went to the back and he cooked for them, you know, kabsa, as they would do with kabsa today, hanif, and he cooked it and he brought it to them. He told them to eat. He saw that their hands could not reach to the food, because they were not real human beings. So he panicked, and he told them, we are the angels, we're from Allah, we're coming to destroy the people of Lut, and they gave him glad tidings of his son. If you read the Quran, you're familiar with all these incidents. The idea is they also came in the form of human beings, in the form of rijal, men. Tayyib. Al-Rabi'ah, the fourth thing regarding our belief in angels, we said belief in angels comprises four matters. We mentioned already their existence, that whatever we know of their names and whatever we don't know. Then we mentioned the fact that their attributes. And lastly, al-imanu bima alimna min a'malihim allati yaqumuna biha bi'amri Allah ta'ala katasbihihi wa ta'abudi lahu laylan wa nahaaran biduni malal wa la futur. Fourthly, to believe whatever we know regarding their duties. What are their obligations? What have they been assigned? Their assignments, such as glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Allah during the night and the day without boredom, without any boredom, and without any tiredness. They don't get tired, they don't get bored. They are consistent in their worship of Allah. وَقَدْ يَكُونَ لِبَعْضِهِمْ أَعْمَالْ خَاصَّةِ. Two more minutes, inshallah. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ لِبَعْضِهِمْ أَعْمَالٌ خَاصَّةٌ مِثْلِ جِبْرِيلِ الْأَمِينِ عَلَى وَحْيِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يُرْسِلُهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ إِلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالرُّسُلِ. Some of them have a particular obligation, a particular assignment, such as Jibreel. He is the trustworthy, he is the one entrusted with revelation, by whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him to his prophets and his messengers to deliver the revelation. So this, he was entrusted with that. This is a particular duty for the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمِثَلْ مِيكَائِيلِ أَلْمُوَكَّلُ بِالْقَطَرِ أَيْ بِالْمَطَرِ وَالنَّبَاتِ. And Mikael, who's been given the assignment, or he's entrusted with rain and plants. Rain, the falling of rain, and vegetation, plants. وَمِثْلِ إِسْرَافِيلَ الْمُوَكَّلُ بِالنَّفْخِ فِي الصُّورِ عِنْدَ قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ وَبَعْثِ الْخَلْقِ. And like Israfil would be given the assignment of blowing into the trumpet when the day of judgment takes place and when it's time for resurrection. وَمِثْلِ الْمَلَكِ الْمَوْتِ الْمُوَكَّلُ بِقَبْضِ الْأَرْوَاحِ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ. And like the angel of death who's been assigned to claim the souls of the people whose time has come up, has expired. When the time expires, the angel of death comes with assistance as soon as he takes the gift. Not to assist him in a sense where he needs help, but they will take the soul from him and they will take it to the heavens. If it's a good soul, it will continue to go up in the heavens until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, send him back to the ground, open his grave, widen his grave, and give him a window so he can see his place in Jannah. This is for the righteous believer. For the disbeliever and the wicked person, as soon as they take his soul to the first heaven, the doors of the heaven will not open. They say, send him back. And then he will send back to the grave. And then the grave will tighten and become so tight that his ribs will intertwine. They will go into each other. And then Munkar and Nakir will come and ask him the three questions. And he will not know how to answer. He will say, when they ask him, who is your Lord? Imagine now we say Allah. On the grave he may not know the answer, because he wasn't living according to that. He was not living according to that. And then, don't ask. Then the grave will become a pit from the pits of the hellfire, wal'iyadhu billah. So the person will continue to be punished until the day of judgment. For further punishment on the day of judgment. This is what could be the destination of any one of us, unless we change our ways. Unless we return to Allah. We need to prioritize in our life. We must put the deen first, obligations first, worship first, Allah's rights first, then the creation. Because once we leave this world, no one can benefit you. Your boss may command you to disobey Allah. Your boss, Tafeel, whoever he is, he may oblige you to disobey Allah. But when you leave this world, he will say nothing on your behalf in the grave. He's not going to do nothing for you, and he's not going to care for you, and he will run away from you. So we must understand this right, so we don't give him priority, and we disobey Allah by obeying his creation. Rather, we obey Allah, even if it entails disobeying his creation, because when you go to the grave, if your situation is going to be good, then even if your dunya wasn't that good, it doesn't matter. What matters is how you end, where you go after you die. We will conclude with that, inshallah. We will continue next week, if we all remain alive, with the more of the angels, more of their qualities, or more of their assignments that Allah has given them, and how do we benefit from belief in angels, and then we'll be moving on to believing to the belief in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Psalms of David, the Gospel of Jesus, the Torah of Moses, and the Quran of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. هذا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.